There was an episode that came up when I was speaking with my director on retreat this week that seemed to shed some light on our gospel today. It's something that happened quite a while ago, back when our priest group, the Companions of Christ, we were just seminarians at that point, and we had obtained this house where we'd live and try to be formed in the kind of life we wanted to have as priests. And we had a lot of friends helping us to move into this house back in 2008. And people moving in, you know, the furniture, helping to set up our kitchen. And among the friends, one of them was this young woman, Shannon Gunning, that many of us knew. And she was from St. Francis Gabrini Parish and worked there for many years as well. And she had been great in helping us, especially get that kitchen set up the right way, you know, and she was a great helper. So at the end of the day of our moving in, we're going to have dinner, and we decided, well, let's try some of the local Chinese takeout. We'll give that a shot, see what the neighborhood has to offer. And so I put in the order, and then when the time was elapsed, I left the house to go and pick up the food. And as I was walking around the side to the front of the house where my car is parked, I noticed, you know, just our front yard, which is pretty unkept at that point. There are big bushes with flowers, and there's a big rose bush out there. And the thought came to me, you know, maybe it'd be really nice to give Shannon a flower, a rose, just as a sign of thanks for her great help with us and her friendship. And so maybe I'll do that. And then I thought, well, but, you know, people are waiting for the Chinese food. You know, they're waiting for dinner. I should really just go and get that. And but then the thought is like, well, maybe I should just do it, you know. But then I was getting even more honest. Frankly, I'm pretty hungry, so I think I want to just go get the dinner. But then the thought came back again. No, well, maybe I should just do it right now, before I forget. So kind of the inner debate resolved, I decided to do that. And there was on the rose bush this one gigantic a rose flower, a yellow one there. And I mean, I hadn't planned this. So I didn't have a knife or a scissors. I got out my car keys and started kind of hacking at the stem, you know. So hopefully she just noticed the big flower, not the bottom of the stem. And so I got that and kind of triumphantly walked inside to give her this rose. And I walk in and say, Shannon, you know, thank you so much for your friendship, for your help, especially today. And please accept this rose as just a sign of our appreciation. I delivered my little speech, gave her the rose, and she just burst into tears, bawling, really like crying. I was like, what the heck? You know, this is not what I was expecting to happen. But what had actually happened was an answer to prayers. You see, Shannon had been doing this novena of St. Therese of Lisieux. And what often happens when people do this 9-day set of prayers for a particular intention, at the end of it, very often they encounter a rose somehow, maybe a rose on a bulletin board they drive by or something. And Shannon had been praying this, had completed the novena, and boom, here's this gigantic yellow rose. And it turned out that yellow roses are her absolute favorite. It was a beautiful, amazing moment of grace, of God's goodness towards her. And for me, it was amazing, you know, to really be used that way, to be drawn into God's plan and to deliver this gift to Shannon. You know, it was really stunning to think about that inner debate, you know. And afterwards, it's kind of like, well, St. Therese, well, Holy Spirit, you know, feel free to use me anytime. Because that was amazing. That moment was really a convergence of two things. It was a convergence, first of all, of Shannon and her life and her prayers, the prayer intention she had in doing the novena. And then behind that, the manifesting in that beseeching through the novena of her deep need, her searching, her need for God to bring about something in her life. And so from one side, there's this great need. And then from the other side, what converged with that in this moment was God's loving and particular care for Shannon. It also was a saint's loving intercession for, you know, this for this young lady, this little sister, and then the bonus grace of getting me involved in this as well. And it all came together in this beautiful, providential moment, as Jesus would describe it, the gift of God. In the gospel, there's also this amazing convergence at Jacob's well. From one side, you have the Samaritan woman and her painful history and the burden that that history has been upon her life until the present. But then converging with that from the other side is, first of all, God's deep sowing. His deep sowing in the history of that land and people, that there would be Jacob's well, Jacob, that patriarch, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, Jacob, the one who wrestles with God. And then through the Holy Spirit, the voice of the prophets speaking of this someday a Messiah, this anointed one would come, so that within the heart of this woman was this alertness and desire for this Messiah. And all of this comes together then, the convergence of these two realities and in this beautiful moment of providence. Now, Jesus, the Messiah, he awaits her. And he invites her to stand in the truth of her life. And in that, to get in touch with the deeper thirst of her soul. And then Jesus helps her with the gift of God. It may not be a surprise that Jesus would be able to deliver the gift of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God after all. But then what we see in the gospel is the Samaritan woman herself, with that living water starting to well up within her of faith, of hope, of charity. She herself sharing the gift of God with others. What a joy for her to be a part of God's plan. You know, just like that joy I felt at it being the flower deliverer in this moment of grace for Shannon. What a joy it is for all of us to be brought into and responsive to being a part of God's plan. And then I think there are deep lessons for Jesus' disciples in this moment. First of all, Jesus tells them, look up and see. You know, they're again talking about, well, where'd the food come from? Where is he getting his food? Who's he talking to now? It's like, wake up, look up and see. Look at what God is doing. Be ready to be drawn into God's plan to reap what God is sowing in people's hearts. Wake up, my disciples, to be a part of his plan. And then how important to stand in the truth. The woman, she had no trouble arguing, right? You know, she's kind of arguing with Jesus a little bit. And then even when she sees, oh, I see you're a prophet, boom, let's get into another debate about where to worship. You know, she wasn't, you know, afraid of that. But instead, if she had been, you know, evasive, excuse-making about her choices and her history, hard-hearted and just stuck in that and not sharing that with the Lord and bringing that forward, that scrutiny, like we have a scrutiny today, none of this would have happened. The gift could not have been received. And so that's another deep lesson for each of us, the importance to stand in the truth and in that, the need that expresses to receive the grace of God. And so our friend Shannon Gunning, she's now Sister Mary Casey, and she's a member of a great religious order called the Sisters of Life. They're founded in New York, and they're a religious order devoted to promoting and serving the church's gospel of life, God's gospel of life. Who knows? Maybe that novena she prayed years back had something to do with that. That wrestling about her vocation, becoming open to that. I don't know. That's just speculation. But we can see how this grace is at work in Shannon's life out of this need that was there. And now recently, Sister Mary Casey, she actually co-spoke with her sister at the March for Life back in January. She co-spoke. She was one of the speakers in front of all these people with her twin sister, Casey. And it's interesting, that's the name that Shannon took for her religious life. So Shannon is now Sister Mary Casey, and she has a twin sister named Casey. Well, why did she do that? Well, as a sister of life, and that deep regard they have for human life, you see, Casey, her twin sister, has Down syndrome. And she wanted to point to the importance of her sister in her life, how the gift of God can be at work. And yes, maybe there are some challenges that her family thought would come from her sister, Casey. But in the end, Casey is this wonderful person. And she's this marvelous inspiration for Shannon, for Sister Mary Casey, for many others. And so Sister Mary Casey, it can be a little confusing, Shannon, you know, was interviewed along with their sister about speaking at the March for Life. And this is what Sister Mary Casey had to say about speaking with her twin sister out in front of all these hundreds of thousands of people. She said, "I think it's one of the greatest honors of my life because she's one of the most significant, important, and special people in my life. She's formed my heart and my view of life. And she's helped shape even my understanding of God and His love. For us to be up there together, sharing about the goodness and the sacredness of life, is a real joy and a real honor." What an amazing, beautiful convergence of grace in the midst of need. How beautiful those two sisters together. Unfortunately, in Colorado, many people and legislators in our state, they want to answer the suffering that can be there. They want to answer the need around undesired or difficult pregnancies with not grace, not mercy, but with abortion, with death. That's the convergence they want to bring about. You see, there can also be dark and evil convergences in this life as well, and those damage everyone involved. There's a new act, a bill in the legislature that was just introduced, and it's a horrible bill. There is great hardness of heart in this abortion bill that is there. Great hardness of heart in these legislators and in their minions and in their masters. This act wants to even disallow and make it illegal for women to have access to reversing the abortion pill. You know, they want to deny legally women even the chance to choose again life for their child. And they want to snuff out pro-life counseling. It's a villainous and despicable bill and a shame for our state that something like this would be proposed. And so I say to you, look up and see. We need to be a part of the gospel of life response to this villainy, to this attempted legislation. And if we just passively sit back, we will be called to account by God. I'll be sending out on Tuesday more information about this horrible bill and what we can do to respond, to fight this, and to proclaim the gospel of life instead of this horrible gospel of death that our state clings to. And I have to say as well, for those women who have had an abortion, and for men and women who have maybe helped procure an abortion for someone else, know this, there is a Messiah waiting at the well for you. Just like there was for that Samaritan woman. One way that happens to encounter the Lord in the midst of that burden is a wonderful retreat called the Rachel's Vineyard Retreat. It's put on hundreds of times in different places a year. And it's a beautiful gift for those who have been involved with abortion. It's described this way. It's a safe place to renew, rebuild and redeem hearts broken by abortion. I've recommended that retreat to different women, and it's interesting. There was a woman who came to me, and she'd been carrying the burden of abortion for decades, this burden, this pain. And so she recently, following my advice, went to one of these retreats. She came back afterwards, and she came up, marched like right up to me, you know, and got in my face, and she's like, "You have to share this with others. This was amazing, an incredible gift of God. I can't believe how much healing He accomplished in me in just one weekend. And I look forward to the graces to come." She beautifully experienced this convergence of her need, her burden, her suffering, her sin, and the mercy and the healing of God. She experienced God the Father's great desire for her healing. And so, my brothers and sisters, we might have different burdens in our life, maybe burdens we've imposed upon ourselves, and yet still we bear them. The Lord wants His mercy to converge on everyone's pain and need, and in that, receiving the gift of His goodness, to again receive the beautiful and living gift of God welling up in our hearts and saving us.